But those root causes, I find that it's a very effective and it's a faster way to move through healing when we figure out what was that root, where did it come from, what purpose is it serving, and then we're able to meet those needs in healthier ways.
Today on the We Share podcast, we're joined by Nicole Celeste Packer. She's creator and an instructor at Yoga Wellness Connection and the director at Retreat Into Life. Welcome to the We Share podcast. I'm Julie.
I'm Alex.
We share ourselves and we provide a platform for others to share.
We believe everyone has a purpose and a story to tell.
Well, Alex, I've had such a stressful week, so many things piling on. So I'm so excited to listen to the guest we have with us today. Tell me about your friend that you've brought to the podcast
today.
That's
a perfect segue to introduce Nicole Celeste Packer. She is fun. She is smart. So many things. She's a behavioral interventionist, hypnotherapist, and a yoga and meditation teacher. Really, she's so much more than that. She's also a mom and super involved in the community.
Welcome, Nicole. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's just let you have the floor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe where you grew up, how you got to this journey, those kind of things.
So I grew up in a very diverse community. And from a very young age, I guess I had my foundations in mind, body, spirit, community, as far as all of these were taught as priorities and part of my life. So I had, you know, I was involved in physical fitness. I was a competitive athlete. I also have deep roots in spirituality. In addition to that, you know, health and nutrition and taking care of your mind was all important as a youth. So I've lived, I guess, an integrated lifestyle for a really long time and just really appreciated different cultures, different beliefs, and really, really just love people. I'm super social.
I agree. I remember. Do you remember the first time we met?
Tell me about it. Hanging in a hammock at Fly Fitness.
Yeah. So I used to have a studio, but she also was an instructor, and I was welcoming to have as many people come in and instruct and do things. But you were in charge. I remember the first thing I did with you, kind of collaborative. You taught it, but it was the flash mob. Landing.
Give, so, dance, live.
Tell us a little bit about that flash mob and the fundraiser and all the things that you did for that event.
So I had been doing some events in Idaho Falls just to gather community. Again, not only do I love to be social, but humans need each other. And so I created this idea of doing this flash mob, and we were going to donate shoes to Africa. So we had tons of shoes coming in, and then all of these businesses dressed up like their business. And we learned Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, like a routine.
Uptown Funk you up.
And we had over 100 and something people out there dancing that routine. It's somewhere on YouTube.
The news media showed up. It was so fun, but that was just you with an idea. You carried it forward.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think that's a glimpse because Nicole is your connection, your friend. So this is the first time I've talked to Nicole. I think that's a perfect glimpse into she really does love people. You don't do a flash mob and try to donate shoes to needy children or needy people unless you really love people.
And she wasn't getting paid to do any of that. She was like, I'm going to do this. She is a game changer. She just dives in. And I've loved that about her.
At that time, I paid to do that event.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It was out of your pocket to do the
event.
You're
like, I'm going to do this because I can. I can make a difference. And that's something
Exactly what we want to learn from people that. Yeah.
Like, seeing the insurance companies and painters and, you know, fire department. I can't remember who else we had dancing out there. It's priceless. Some good memories, Alex. That's hilarious. That's the first time we met. I did not know that.
We met like before that, but that was the first thing I remember, like, actually, no, I'm going to show up and do this because she's awesome that she put this together. And it was in Snake River Landing. And all right. So diving into, I've known you as a yoga teacher and a dancer for years, but finding out that you were a behavioral interventionist and a hypnotherapist, that intrigued me. I don't know a lot about that. Can you share that with us, with our audience?
So there's lots of different approaches to wellness, and there's different avenues and ways and resources that people can heal. And so hypnotherapy is a tool. It's just a way that people can access, I would say, root causes. So when people have a fear or an anxiety, just different emotions, anger, they feel intimidated. I would say that these emotions are purposeful. Now, it doesn't mean that they're useful, but that they serve purposes in our body. And so someone can work on desensitizing these things and becoming more comfortable. But those root causes, I find that it's a very effective and it's a faster way to move through healing when we figure out what was that root, where did it come from, what purpose is it serving, and then we're able to meet those needs in healthier ways. So it's interesting that the practice of awareness in and of itself sometimes is all that that person needs to heal, is to realize where that was coming from, how it was, quote unquote, helping them at the time. A lot of these strategies are outdated, or maybe they never were a good one in the first place. But when you have a younger, less experienced mind acting in a moment and making a quick judgment call and perception, our body can tend to hang on to these, especially when there's a lot of emotional content behind it.
Like just repress it and keep it buried.
I love that concept that you said everything that we do has a purpose behind it. Doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's just a reason that it's happening. And I especially like that because I think that we as humans can tend to live in victimhood, like something's happening to me.
Yes.
But when you realize that there's a purpose behind the action, you get to own it. Instead of it happening to you, you can understand the purpose behind it and own it. And then possibly change it.
Yes, because when you're no longer that victim, then you're in charge. You have your sense of control, which is a huge part of healing, is taking back that power that we have always had, that in some way we believed or misunderstood that that we have lost.
So if you're someone out there needing help, how long, tell us like how long this process takes.
Oh, goodness.
Do you usually work with clients? Is it a weekly, monthly,
so, annual? Like, so I have a pretty broad practice. It's kind of funny because when you specialize in working in the mind, what I would say that specialty is, for the lack of a better word, is helping people work in their own mindsets. So I might have a professional athlete come in that wants to improve, you know, their ability in, you know, whatever they're competing in. I could have somebody with anxiety or someone who wants to, you know, grow their new business or someone who's had trauma or people who are working on relationships. They're having relationship difficulty, communication difficulty. So it is such a broad and interesting practice. It's never the same. People working in love, romance, you know, they want to enhance their life or they're suffering from addiction or they're ready to end their life. People who have been victims, people who have been perpetrators and everything in between.
So you really, everyone.
My job is, all topics, everything. If someone wants to change and they want, and that begins in the mindset in part, and then we add the behaviors, then my job is just to offer that support without judgment. And so there's some people who have stepped into my office one time and they're like, boom, I am good to go. And I never hear from them again. And then there's other people, maybe they've had a little bit more of early childhood, what I would call complex trauma, where it's happened over a period of time. And so some of those people like to see me more regularly and everything in between. So
okay, I love that.
Is there an age limit to this? Like if a parent brings you a 16-year-old child that's recognizing, I want to change my behavior. Sure. I want to do something different. Do you work with youth?
I do. And they get it really well. A lot of the youth move through things that they're more intuitive. I just think that they haven't lost touch as much as some people have, building layers of distancing and, like you said, Alex, repressing and avoiding. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've had littles, you know, 5 years old, and people that are, you know, towards that end of the life spectrum. So yeah, it's
all-encompassing.
Yeah.
Wow, no day is ever the same for you.
That is the truth.
All the time.
That is the truth.
Well, and I love that you're using your gift and your talent to help others, helping them figure out ways to change their behaviors and giving them tools.
I give them tools. And the part that I love best about this really is that they have the answer. Mm-hmm. I tell them when they're like, I'm so stuck. You know, I want to do this different. And I let them know. I said, you have the answer. And in this process, there's different ways to do hypnotherapy. But one of the ways that I interact with my clients is that they're actually the ones, I follow them, if that sounds kind of odd or curious. I follow them and they do say their answers. And when they find the answer, this is what lasts. You know, I could give a lot of good advice. I could give tips. I do teach certain tools, but as far as the decisions, I'm like, I know that they have their answer. And it's that person that has to live in their life. And they are the ones that know what feels good and right and what doesn't. And sometimes we just get a little out of touch. So I think of it as kind of clearing those filters so that they're back in touch with the things that they do know. They're, right. It's in there.
You know your why. But mm-hmm. You just help them clear the cobwebs.
Yeah.
I would love for you to just... I secretly know all these things she does behind the scenes. And so I want to share that with our audience. And for people out there that think, how would I do something like this? You created Retreat Into Life, Yoga Fuel Flow, and Life Full Meditation. You're creative with the way you title things and your intent behind them all. So I just want, if you can share a little bit about Retreat Into Life and how that led to Yoga Fuel Flow and Life Full Meditation.
Absolutely. So Retreat Into Life is about getting back into your life. I host retreats. I've hosted them all over, locally and internationally. I love travel. But Retreat Into Life is that when we go on retreats, I think some people go on a retreat to get away from life. And then they're like, oh, back to the real world. Mm-hmm. The real world. What is that? And where did they go? And so that troubled me. And I remember, long story short, I was in my backyard one day. And there was just nothing phenomenal going on at all. And I was just basking in beauty. It was amazing. I just felt like I was in such a serene and beautiful environment in the simplicity, there wasn't anything special going on. And that's where I said, you know, we've got to get into our lives. We can retreat into our life. And it's living deep. It's taking everything in. I would think of it as abundant living. And we don't have to get out of life to get there. It's where we're at. And so
you can live there every day.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that moved you to what? Yoga Fuel Flow, because that helps you retreat into life?
So the Fuel and Flow Fest and Yoga Fuel Flow are programs. There's actually a yoga wellness festival that I've hosted in Idaho Falls for 5 or 6 years now. And I think it's the biggest yoga festival in the region. I mean, we're as big, or now I think bigger than Boise, which is surprising. But the Fuel and Flow is about fueling your mind, fueling your body, and that flow is that actual movement. So it's what we take in and then how we flow. And so a lot of the platform, I told you guys my background was integrated, is we've got to take things in mentally, but then we need to heal in our body. And so as we move our bodies, amazing things happen. So the yoga festival really is where I got the idea for the Yoga Wellness Connection, and I'm sure we'll touch on that later. Yes. But it was all of these resources. There are many ways to heal. There are things that we can put, you know, good food. We can use herbs. We can have essential oils. We can have sounds, and we can participate in different kinds of movement, higher intensity, lower, slow it down, speed it up, relax more. And so taking all of these things together, massage, touch, you know, where it's acupressure, things that you haven't even heard of before, you know, I was like, let's bring it all together in one day so that there's not a human that doesn't step into, you know, this room in this festival that won't feel like there's hope for me somewhere. There's some way that I can heal. Yeah. If this didn't work, you know, cognitive therapy didn't work, there's something else. So that's where the Fuel and Flow Fest came from. And the actual Fuel and Flow yoga practice is when we're moving in our body and we take an intention. So I like how you notice that the titles are very intentional. Mm-hmm. They are. Intentional living is part of that deep living. It's when we live deliberately. We're not just landed on the planet wandering around, but there's purpose, there's passion behind it. And so the Fuel and Flow yoga practice is where you're moving in your body and you take your intention and you've made it an experience. Because we know that mindset is powerful. But when you take mindset and then you start applying it, you're incorporating more of your body, more of your neural networks, more of your being, you're adding your senses. Now it's become a part of your life. And so these practices that we do on our yoga mat, what are we practicing for? Not the Yoga Olympics. People are practicing for their life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, I love this because there's been studies that have come out in like the last decade or so that show if I get into a traumatic accident and I donate my organs, the people who receive the organs, there'll be things where like their tastes all of a sudden change, but they love a new kind of music or whatever because our cells remember what mm-hmm. we do. And we erroneously think that our mind is different than our body. They are completely tied together, and you can have your body remember what your mind trains it to remember. Yes. And so this is, I love it that you integrate it. It all comes together. You teach your body to activate what your mind set forth, and your body becomes like the vessel.
Yes.
You can actually let go of things mm-hmm. from your mind and through your body.
And so some of these older philosophies, I am a science girl and I love evidence-based practices. That's part of what I look for. And then I combine this with, you know, more ancient wisdom and practices as well. And what's interesting is that you'll hear commonly people say, you know, that people are wired to be negative and to be kind of mindless. Like we have to be really conscious. We have to like force ourselves to pay attention. And what is interesting is according to yogic philosophy, it's the opposite. It's like our as we come closer to our truer states, one of those true states is bliss. It's joy. It's like, oh, it's the garbage that gets in the way that's keeping us from the joy. And when we let go of that, we're actually pretty blissful. And with, you know, a body that literally we have, our brain is in our fingertips. Our brain is in our toes. Our brain is everywhere. We have neural networks everywhere, ready to connect, ready to learn, you know, neuroplasticity, science confirms is real. That looks like a body that's actually wired to be very conscious. So I love that. I truly believe it. And I share those teachings in what I do. So life full meditation, a lot of people come, they're like, I'm a bad meditator, whatever that is. I'm not good at meditating. And life full meditation is about how we can just simplify. What is a meditation practice anyway? There was a guru that went, and I think he meditated for an extended period of time, 14 years in a cave, maybe 18, a really, really long time in a cave. And then he came out, you know, and he wanted to share his wisdom. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, after 18 years in the cave, you know, what's this big find? We're ready. And so he says this one thing. He says, I no longer believe my thoughts. It's like, oh.
It took him 18 years.
Let me save you guys 18 years of your life right now. Not all of your thoughts are true. You know, they come from all kinds of places. Subconscious, other people's ideas, you know, things that we perceive a certain way. So, yes, life full meditation is about simple practices that we can do that have that meditative or that intentional, more mindful quality. And it doesn't need to take a lot of time. Minute meditations. And what, again, findings are beginning to show is that it's the small practices that we do over time that have the biggest effect on our mind. So, you know, going to a silent meditation retreat or some kind of a meditation retreat, that's fine. That's good. Maybe it's a 3-day practice, a 7-day, 10-day if it's a long one. But if people don't return to those practices and then we just live a different way, then again, we've retreated out of our life. And when we take this into our life, you can make driving a meditation. You know, just that awareness of breathing, hands grounded on the steering wheel. You know, I've been rushing between appointments at times and it's like just coming back into awareness of my breath, mm-hmm. looking at the sun through the windows, the birds, feel my hands really grounded on the wheel can just bring me right back to calm. So these practices, the more we do them, the more that they have a very real and profound interaction on the body.
Yeah, no, so. I feel like that meditation for me, for somebody out there that has been intimidated.
Ah.
The irony, intimidate and meditate are very close with the words.
Yeah.
But it's intimidating to some because they don't like to quiet their mind and they don't like hearing those voices. So what's a simple tip, takeaway for our listeners as a place to start meditation if they're on their own, in their home, and they are afraid? Just to build some, how would I say
confidence.
It? Confidence. Yeah, build confidence.
To come and like actually sit with you and learn. To then go to a yoga class. What's the first step?
Or a meditation class. Yeah.
So, you know, the classes that we have really are catered to someone who's maybe never practiced or someone who's just getting started, maybe someone who's practiced for a long time, maybe somebody who's been in a cave for 18 years, I don't know, they could come too and you'll still benefit. But especially the person that's like, how do I start? Again, the Yoga Wellness Connection, we wanted it to be very accessible. So the first thing that I would share is you can't do it wrong. This fear of I'm going to mess up, I'm not going to be good at it, I'm, you know, I don't know how to sit in a half lotus with my legs in a pretzel. None of that matters. There's not really a wrong way to do it. And that just to start to pay attention in your life, the act of paying attention. So many people are running in these automatic modes from here to there. They're eating and they're not paying attention. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, my dinner's gone, you know, because they're on the phone or they're watching a show. And so all you have to do is just start paying attention and give yourself more of a singular focus. So tonight we're having a mindful eating community dinner. And that's where as a community we get together to slow down when we eat and to really connect to our senses, to savor the food. Food is beautiful on the plate.
And I did see that you're having people bring in like lots of variety.
Well, we have caterers that bring in different foods. Okay. So like mm-hmm. Middle Eastern cuisine tonight, there's lots of flavors. And when you slow down and you try each dish, you know, the textures, the sounds, you can kind of see what notes and what spices stand out to you. Even, you know, just the literally the different colors of things on the plate. You can focus on where different things came from, you know, like some of the, one of the most beautiful meditations that I guess when I was initially coming to really love meditation, because I consider that most of my life I grew up, you know, at light speed, doing lots of activities, lots of different things. Produce, and you know, I wasn't used to slowing down, and I didn't want to slow down. I didn't. I was used to being in this high state, and so that can become kind of a homeostasis, a baseline for our body. Mm-hmm. And when we're not used to being in that state, we recreate it. So somebody that's not even in a rush, they're at home and they're just cramming their food, or even the way, have you watched how women brush their hair? It's like, they're just like pulling through it. Like, yeah,
it's aggressive.
Yes. So all of this mindful element, everything's so rushed, and you would never grab a child and brush their hair that way, you know, the way that they're brushing their own hair. So slowing down, it could be with eating, it could be with getting ready in the morning. The way that we do things communicates messages to our body. And I got off track about that Mandarin Orange meditation, but it was a meditation where I was actually doing something because to sit was harder for me initially. Now I like it, but, you know, there's times still where my body needs to add a movement component for me to begin to feel those deeper levels of calm, and I integrate more of my being. I actually think it's healthy. So in this Mandarin Orange meditation, you know, you're really slowing down, even how you peel it and how it feels, and, you know, you're looking at it and you're smelling it. You're doing everything except for eating the mandarin at first. And then, you know, when you finally, it's, you're even watching how it sprays as you, you know, open up the orange and separate the pieces and all the little colors and seeds, you can start thinking about where it came from, you know, and all the people that have taken care of this tree and the years that's taken for this, hundreds of years sometimes, that these trees have grown in these orchards and how it's traveled. And there's so much. This is retreating into life where it's like there's so much here, and just a simple mandarin orange and what it's doing for my body and my cells and the nutrients, and gratitude is a huge part of that practice.
Yeah. I love that.
I feel like she's like peeled back my soul and looked at it.
And I'm wishing I could smell oranges right now.
I mean, because I think I am so guilty of everything you're saying. Mm-hmm. And it started when my kids were like babies and I'm still in college and I've got a paper to write and I've got to get things done. And so I have to eat as fast as I can and get those dishes cleaned up so I can do this. And you just get in that behavior and you never appreciate the little things in life. The meal that I just spent a half hour preparing, I never just took a second to just breathe in the aroma, or to appreciate the colors, or to actually take a time and chew and taste everything in it. I'm so guilty of that. So that would be one very first step for me.
Oh, definitely. I'm like, does she have hidden cameras at my home? In my bathroom? Has she seen me brush my hair?
Yeah, I don't think you have.
But you, I feel like you
She hit right on it for sure.
This morning even, I was like,
it's just 20 plus years of behavioral work where you see, you recognize, know, how people are patterns, living, and so you're not alone.
We have touched on this a little bit. I have, let's talk yoga. How has yoga benefited your life personally? So shifting gears from not meditation, although they're intrinsic and they are intertwined, but yoga, like yoga for you.
So I absolutely love yoga. But not for the yoga. This is going to sound so weird. I love it. I love the teachings. I like the sutras. I like exploring postures. I like looking at more traditional ways yoga has been done, and then incorporating some of these biomechanical awarenesses in more modern practices, you know, that kind of incorporate the nervous system and tissues. I love all this. I love the meditation. Yoga has many limbs, so there's more practices than just that physical practice, although I think that that's what most people think of. But again, it's not about the yoga. It's for life. I think there are valuable tools and practices that help us in our life space. You know, I don't observe, most people that come to the yoga studio aren't like, I just want to be better at yoga. I am here, and there really is a yoga Olympics. I think it's kind of funny, so I like to bring it up, but it's not like I'm training, you know, and just want to become the most fabulous, you know.
I just want that Instagram post on a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're not that kind of yoga.
Yeah, exactly. People come because they're like, I'm want to reduce anxiety
or feel better.
I'm depressed, I'm stressed out with work, I want to be more healthy in my body. And so again, the practices encompassing yoga sometimes I think fill in a gap where there's this glorified attitude almost of overwork sometimes. You know, it's like, oh, I'm at the gym, you know, 20 more, as many as you can, rah, where people are pushing really hard, next goal, faster, further. Even with stretching, it's like, okay, go for more. Now that you can touch your knees, touch your toes, now that you can touch your toes, get your nose to the floor. Everything's so competitive, amped up. And so when you can slow down, of course, there are yoga practices that are, you know, power and more active, and those are fun. I don't have a problem with it. But that slowing down as well, that yin and yang, that balance, if you will, is needed. And so to always be in an napped upstate, not productive. But then you have people who are kind of in this perpetual, almost slow motion. It's like
perpetual yoga
nidra. I have no motivation to get going. And so what's cool is that there's practices that can link both. And again, you know, what we're offering at the Yoga Wellness Connection is that you can find it all. Speed it up, slow it down, in between, you know, everything in between.
Yeah, you've gone back to how we started this podcast, mm-hmm. that it's awareness of your body,
yes.
mm-hmm. and the need that you have. And yoga becomes the way to either change that purpose or to fulfill that purpose, one or the other.
So if they're going to... If they don't live here, you're going to have to find a studio somewhere else. But if you live in Idaho Falls...
or come say hi and visit.
Yeah, when you're on vacation, on your way to Yellowstone, stop by Yoga Wellness Connection and see the falls. What would you say, like, one time a week, two times a week, every day? Like, what? How much yoga does it take to actually see the benefit in your life?
Depending on what somebody is looking for in their life, there's going to be a broad span. But one thing that I could share as a general to everybody is that daily practices are powerful. Daily practices are how our body learns, and our body learns through repetition. So it doesn't necessarily to be, you know, at Yoga Wellness Connection, our classes actually aren't an hour. That's kind of a trend, or, you know, the universal libraries of information, you know, there's nowhere that says a workout has to be an hour.
Right.
And so we actually have 50-minute classes just to make it a little bit better, you know, as far as that might help people get to right, and from transitions. The studio a little bit more. So it's not an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes. But consistency, whatever that is for you, you know, people can practice at home. Every day I'm engaging in those lifeful or more mindful practices throughout the day, you know, and it brings me a lot of peace. With my hands, you know, my hands on the yoga mat, once I, you know, come into the room and literally my hands touch the yoga mat, it's something that just signals in my body like, you know, it's time to just rest and be present. And so right now, just playing with it, you know, my hands on the table while we're doing this interview, I just kind of drew awareness to my hands. That was 10 seconds, and I can already feel that in my body, you know, just that grounding. And so consistency, if once a week, you know, seems tricky, make it smaller, simplify it. You know, see how you can do just simple practices every day, simple movements, 5-minute movement routine. Start moving if you're not moving. If you have some movement practices, maybe look at how you can add balance. I'm not big about adding more into people's schedules, but how can we make what we're doing maybe a little bit more healthy? And what happens over time is then, you know, people are like, wow, I need yoga, you know.
Suddenly find space.
Yeah, and other things have kind of shifted.
We've talked a little bit about your studio and everything. I'm seeing in the notes something I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. So will you tell us about the sound bath and about drumming? Because these are two brand new concepts to me.
Absolutely. And I am going to tie this back into the center, because I think the big thing for me in all the work that I do is connection. It is about connection. It's connection within ourselves. It's that intrapersonal relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's the connection with others. So, you know, I'm assuming that you're reading that from the list of what we have offered at the center. It's more than just yoga. It's a lot of different wellness practices that, again, have evidence, have that empirically validated, to say?
I went to the sound bath. I've been to a couple, but I recently went to one of your sound bath classes, and I left just completely elevated. My energy was on fire. And I just felt healed. I don't necessarily understand all the reasons why. I've done a little research on it, but I would love for you to share the benefits of sound from the sound bath.
Sure. So sound and vibration have an impact on our body. And for some individuals where they, again, find their mind kind of spinning in circles. If they enter a more quiet space, the vibration of sound meditation can be a really nice way to begin a meditation practice. It gives the mind something to center on without you finding that focus necessarily. And so there's different kinds of, I would say, different kinds of sounds and different instruments that can be brought into a sound bath. There are, for example, crystal singing bowls, and they can have a certain frequency, 432 hertz, for example, which is a frequency that's found in nature. And when they put the little, you know, they do all the studies and put cameras and stuff. And so I don't even know what the name of the machine is, but where it's, you know, measuring sound and then all the sand kind of aligns and makes really nice even lines within the vibration. It's just very organized, can help the mind organize. So that's one example of a frequency. And then there's different tones within that frequency that can correspond to different parts of the body, or people feel them in different parts of their body. And so all of it is very interesting and can be significant. You know, I've had people, sound is actually one of the ways that I will help people get to the root of something that is in their subconscious. Is different tones can bring back memory and can help people resolve. There was an individual, I'll just share this story, where we did a sound bath, and afterwards she was feeling a very strong emotion, is what I'll say. And so without getting into the details, you know, I kind of brought her over to the side, asked her if she wanted to talk to me for a minute into a private room. And, you know, that's when the tears started flowing. And then she made some connections of some things that had happened in her childhood that she had never been able to perceive in that way. She hadn't had those awarenesses. And so she, you know, it was like 50 years. She's like, 50 years of therapy just happened now. She was crying. She was laughing. You know, it was a really powerful experience for her. But don't be scared of a sound bath either.
No, I loved it. I think
it can also just be soothing and relaxing. There's chimes, there's different kinds of drums and sound that, again, kind of elicit these states where we can get into our body beyond words. So there are some life experiences that we have that there are no words for. Maybe mm-hmm. we try to say it. We want to express it. And so sound enters one of those realms where it can get beyond expression and can go deeply because of that. It can be very universal and very personal. Interesting studies on cancer research and pain with sound. There's a lot of different
that
things.
It can actually shrink tumors, I've heard.
Yeah. And again, different frequencies, different kinds of tools that are brought in, tuning forks. There's so many different ways to introduce sound, even instruments. And so, yeah, the actual act now of drumming itself kind of elicits a little bit of a trance-like state. It has that repetitive quality. You're also releasing, you know, physically with your hands. And so drumming can be very cathartic, you know, very much a practice that helps people let things go too, which is why we included it at the center.
So when they come to a drumming class, do they bring a drum? Do you provide drums? Or are they just there in a class where someone's drumming?
So we have the drums there. And, you know, people just bring your bodies. If you don't have a yoga mat, we've got that. Some people like to bring their yoga mat. They'll come in with like their whole kit and, you know, their blocks and their straps and their little yogi toe sock. I don't know. They come in with their whole set, and other people are just like, hey, you know, where do I start? So it's okay. Don't worry about it if you don't have it. We've got your back.
I think one of the overarching themes that I'm learning about your practices, the wellness center, the programs that you've created, is that it's important to be part of a community.
Yes.
But within that community, you can have a very intimate experience that is unique just to you. So you don't
Absolutely.
Have to show up in a community atmosphere and then do what everyone else is doing. You
No.
can show up in this Mm-hmm. community atmosphere, but it can be a unique, healing, therapeutic, growing situation for you that doesn't also have to be shared with everybody. It's just something you get in touch with.
Yes. So sometimes people want to share and sometimes people want to participate. And all of these things are welcome and great. We've worked really hard to create that neutral environment where people can just come together. You know, there's a time and place to advocate. There's a time and place to, you know, I guess stand up for causes, express yourself. This is a center where people can come and just find, it's like maybe I don't have time to go on a week retreat somewhere. And as we've talked, that 1 week retreat, if that's the only thing that you do in the long run, will not have as profound an effect as something that you do more regularly. And so, you know, kind of the thought behind the center is, how do I create a retreat center every day for people where they can experience a little bit of that, feel safe with each other? You know, you don't really know what teachers or other people are believing or doing. It's a space where people can gather, learn tools, experience different resources, and just rest from all the noise in social media, the news, political climates, and everything else.
I want to dive into your, just briefly, if you can explain something you're doing for the community, your Community for Unity program, because this is unique. I've been around the block. I've been in fitness for over, you know, 25 years, and you're doing something I've never seen done in a community wellness center. It's called your Community for Unity program. Tell us about it.
So again, the whole purpose of why did I decide to open the Yoga Wellness Connection? It's got a lot of different things, right? It's got Zumba and high fitness and bar and different yoga classes, restorative and, you know, more active power type classes, meditation. We have those weekly sound baths and drumming. We have half day retreats and week retreats, stuff that, I mean, really good activities that I believe in. But that's not the main purpose. As much as I love those things and I see them as important and valuable, it's the togetherness. It is that we heal with each other. And our healing never just stays with us. It spreads. And so people need people. I had a very strong feeling, very movement inside of me, you know, to bring a place where people in Idaho Falls, so our local community, can connect. This is home for me. This is where I'm going to stay. I really love the people of Idaho Falls. I've served here, you know, in mental health and also physical wellness for over 20 years. And so this is very, it's very close to my heart, you know, the people of Idaho Falls. And so the Community for Unity program is one where individuals in Idaho Falls, so that we can be more inclusive. I really want to be all inclusive. If anyone wants to participate, I want them to be able to. So we have kept our rates very, you know, very fair is what I would say for everything that we're offering. We offer more than any other, you know, studio that's in the area. It has a different purpose. We have wonderful studios in the area. So props to them. But the approach that we have is just kind of unique is what I would say. So where we're kind of that mid-range, you know, that will encourage a high number of people to be able to participate if they want. But then I know that there's these people that, you know, really need it. And it just might make their budget tight. This is about wellness. I don't want people stressed out. Finances is a reality and something that we've all got to deal with. And so community members can actually donate. They can do a one-time thing, or, you know, they can give more for their monthly membership. And then that money goes into an account. And we have a little application, little process where we interview people to provide them support. So we can either provide some assistance, you know, based on that need for that membership. Again, it would be individual, but it would allow people who maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to participate to participate. And so that's something
right,
that we're starting.
Basically bridging the gap. You can afford $30. Well, in our Community for Unity fund, we can pay that extra month.
Yes.
Or extra bit to give you that monthly membership. Or if you need a free class, we can bonus you that. We can, that's on us. So I love that. It's such a giving model. And again, ties to your abundance mindset that there's enough for everyone and you're providing this. Mm-hmm.
And when people give, the thing is that that is part of their healing. Mm-hmm. You know, on every retreat that I've run, when we've traveled, we always give back to the place that we're at. So like Little Corn Island in Nicaragua, we went there and gorgeous retreat, beautiful cabanas, you know, that we stayed in. Amazing. But part of that retreat was we went and read to the island children at this little school where they want to learn English. And so of all the beautiful things that we can do and scuba dive and beaches and, you know, just relaxing when we have done those kinds of activities, it's always so interesting and heartwarming to me that some of the favorite moments that people talk about is like, oh my gosh, the little children on my lap, you know, gathered around while I read books with them, you know, that's part of our healing. And so why not include it in the dynamic? Because we feel good, you know, there's somebody who's
serving. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. When you attend a class, you're investing in yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You invest in yourself to heal. But when you do something for someone else, you're doing the same practice. You're investing in yourself to heal because by serving yes. someone else or giving to someone else, you're healing in a way. It's just such a great approach of all-encompass healing instead of mm-hmm. sometimes that, you know, I work out every morning, but it's a very focused, I'm going to grow my glutes or I'm going to get bigger
biceps.
Like,
I'm getting my cardio in because right? I had pizza last
yeah.
night.
But when you approach it from this direction, it's more well-rounded. It's a well-rounded healing instead of such a one-purpose healing. I love that about this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, when I was working with youth back some years ago, I started a youth program for individuals that, you know, maybe had less advantage and were struggling, you know, some of them pretty low, you know, we're looking at youth that are feeling like they have no purpose in life and maybe it's better if I'm not around. I remember that part of the youth core included giving back to the community. And these are kids that, like, what do I have to offer anybody? You know, when we went to nursing homes and painted fingernails of the elderly or painted houses and just any little projects that they could do. And again, I mean, some of these kids struggle. They're in trouble with the law even, you know, involved in some addictions, et cetera. And you know, what I learned from that experience, you know, those kids are grown up now and sometimes they still reach out to me every now and then. They call it the good old days or whatever, back when we were doing the activities of the youth. And there was fun things too, like sports and dances and lock-ins, etc. But the service activities, again, was some of the favorite. And the thing that I gathered from that or that I would share is that it is hard for people to feel like they have no purpose or their life is meaningless when other people are telling them, you have made a difference in my life.
Right.
This helped me in this way. You know, it's like what some of these kids need more than anything, although I believe in giving, is that they need to be able to give. They need to know that I have something to offer. I am valuable, you know. I'm a valuable contributor. And that was a huge aha because I like to give. And it was like, you know, that was one of the most powerful pieces that they needed to know. I can do something, you know.
Service is so important for everyone.
Yeah. I don't get teary very often, but I just fought back tears on that because that's the reason that we created this podcast mm-hmm. is that I know I have so much to learn from other people, and if I allow you to give that to me and I learn from it, you also become a better person because you shared it with me. And that's what community is about. That's what you're building, is this ability for a community to enrich each other, to enrich individuals, and then they also give back at the same time. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's, I mean, it is. That's why we're doing what we're doing, mm-hmm. sharing
yeah.
and
Well, good for you ladies. That is powerful. And, you know, media is such a powerful way to get information out, regardless of what kind of impact it's going to be, right?
Well, and good information, too, because
yes.
we want to be an outlet or resource for people to find good information for ways that they can look inside, change their lives. Like some of the things you've mentioned today have just completely been in alignment mm-hmm. with what our mission is as a podcast and what we want to do. I want to ask you, like, if there's one thing that we left out, like, for WeShare, like, there's one thing that you could leave, like, from Nicole's mind or your body, everything. Like, what's one last thing you would share as a takeaway with our audience today?
Okay. I would share this. To not get caught up in the tasks. That the purpose of the task, just to think about this, if the purpose of the task is to strengthen the relationship, you know, everything that we do at the end of the day, I see how relationships pervades throughout everything. The mom that's busy, that has kids, and so she's rushing here and she's rushing there and trying to get things done. Why? Why do you want the clean house? Why is it so important that dinner gets done or that kids get two activities or that, you know, all the homework's done? At the end of the day, I think if you follow that flow back, it's going to come back to relationships. It's because I love my children. I want them to be happy. I want them to live in order. I want them to have experiences. I want them to be able to mature. Even within our own bodies, we're looking for, you know, I go to the gym because I want to be more healthy. But coming back to that relationship, sometimes the tasks in and of itself can almost seem to start to replace the relationship. You know, I got in a huge fight with my kids. Their rooms are a mess and there was yelling and screaming and hurtful words. And so then the task has kind of replaced that deeper purpose of strengthening the relationship. And so maybe just adding this perspective that everything that we do at the end of the day is about the relationships. And so how might that influence how the task is done? And it may just add some new insights, you know.
Maybe a little more intention into your relationships.
Yeah.
Because you brought, you know, living with intention and awareness. Awareness.
Okay, Nicole, how can people find you? Hey, yeah. Do you have a website? Do you have social media? What's the easiest way to learn all about what you have to offer?
So right now we're actually in construction of the Yoga Wellness Connection website. It will be yogawellnessconnection.com. So in the next few weeks, that should be coming up. We are on Facebook as well. You can find me on Facebook. If you do Google search, Google businesses, we're also present there, and you can find Retreat Into Life. So for people who don't love Facebook, you know, they can reach out directly through Retreat Into Life.
And I'm sure your name's connected to everything. So if yeah. people did a search for Nicole Celeste Packer,
yep.
you would also be able to find these.
Yep.
These
or places. Or Yoga Wellness Connection.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Okay. Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful hour.
It's been awesome.
Well, thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it. And just keep spreading your positivity all around the world.
We'll keep sharing. Thanks for joining us today on the WeShare podcast.
If you've loved what you've heard, please give us a 5-star rating, tell your friends, and share this show.
You can also follow us for recipes, lifestyle and fashion tips, book reviews, and more on WeSharePodcast.com.
Join our Share Squad and sign up for our newsletter there.
We would love to connect with you.
We share on TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a follow.
A big goodbye squeeze and sending you all our love from Alex and Julie.
Join us next week on the WeShare podcast.
Awesome.